We begin our analysis of the Jewish meaning of memory, and specifically the Jewish meaning of the memory of sadness or catastrophe, with the commemoration of the destructions of both temples in Jerusalem, the first one in the year 586 before the Common Era, and the second one in the year 70 of the Common Era. After leaving Egypt, the Jews wandered in the desert for 40 years. They made their way into the Promised Land. And a couple of hundred years later, in the 10th century before the Common Era, Solomon built the first temple. And from the time that it was built, it served as the center of Jewish religious and cultural and spiritual life for centuries. In the 6th century BCE, in the year 586, it was destroyed by the Babylonians, and the Jews went into exile. The Bible recounts the story of the destruction of the first temple in two places, and we will analyze both of them. Text number one. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon, and in the 9th year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, and I'd like you to pay specific attention to the dates that are found in the biblical text. And on the 10th day of the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar moved against Jerusalem with his whole army. He besieged it, and they built towers against it all around. So the siege of Jerusalem, in the context of the events leading up to and culminating in the first destruction, happened in the 9th year of the reign of Zedekiah, on the 10th day of the 10th month. The text continues in verse 2, the city continued in a state of siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 9th day of the month, it's the 9th day of the month is in the Hebrew original text. What's not is the number of the month, so that's sort of in brackets, the 4th month, which we know because we're going to see that in the next text. Here, all it says is in the 9th day of the month. The famine had become acute in the city. There was no food left for the common people. Then the wall of the city was breached. Second event, the wall of the city is breached. First, it's besieged on the 10th day of the 10th month. Then it's breached on somewhere in the 4th month, in the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah. Skip to verse 8, on the 7th day of the 5th month, which was in the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the chief of the guards and officer of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burnt the house of the Lord, the king's palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. He burnt down the house of every notable person, and so on. And so what we have here is an account of three events. Event number one is the siege of the city on the 10th day of the 10th month. Event number two is the breach of the city on the 9th day of the month, which we will see is the 4th month. And then we have the burning of the house of the Lord, i.e. the destruction of the temple, on the 7th day of the 5th month. This is 2 Kings. Text number 2, Jeremiah chapter 52. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon, and in the 9th year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar moved against Jerusalem with his whole army. They besieged it and built towers against it all around. The siege, 10th day, 10th month. The city continued in a state of siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 9th day of the 4th month, here is where the Bible explicitly says that this event happened on the 4th month, 9th day, the famine had become acute in the city. There was no food left. The wall of the city was breached. Once again, the siege, 10th day, 10th month, breach, 9th day, 4th month. And then in verse 12, on the 10th day of the 5th month, that was the 19th year of King Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the chief of the guards, came to represent the king of Babylon in Jerusalem. He burnt the house of the Lord. So the destruction of the temple, Jeremiah chapter 52, is on the 10th day of the fifth month. So we have three tragic events that are mentioned, and three fast days are established. Take a look in text number 3 from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, verse 19, quote, thus said the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month shall become occasions for joy and gladness. At some point, please God, the right time, may it be soon, says the prophet Zechariah, these four fast days will be days of joy and happiness and gladness. So we have the fast of the fourth month. The fourth month is the breach. We have the fast of the fifth month. The fifth month is the destruction. We have the fast of the seventh month, which does not occupy us now because that reminds us of an event that happened after the destruction. And we have the fast of the 10th month, which was the siege. Three events leading up to and culminating in the destruction of the temple, and each one of them merited a fast day. After a short exile, I mentioned that after the destruction of the first temple, which is described here in these biblical texts, after that the Jews went into exile. It was a short exile, 70 years, roughly known as the Babylonian exile. We're back. Jews come back and rebuild the temple. Now we're in the second commonwealth. Now we have a second temple. Question. After the rebuilding of the temple, now that we have a functioning second temple, did Jews continue to fast these fasts in commemoration of the tragedies that occurred leading up to and culminating in the destruction of the first temple? On the one hand, the first temple was destroyed, and they were already fasting, maybe, would appear. So did they continue? On the other hand, wait a minute. The only reason why we're fasting and we're so upset is because the temple is destroyed, but the temple is no longer destroyed. This is a very complicated question. It's dealt with at great length in rabbinic and in academic sources. But the issue became pretty much moot just a couple of hundred years later, when in the year 70 of the Common Era, the second temple was also destroyed, and this time it was destroyed by the Romans. And so the most important question now is, we're fasting maybe for the first, we're fasting for the second. On what day was the first temple destroyed? On what day was the second temple destroyed? We know that the first temple was destroyed. We know the second temple was destroyed. On what day? And another way to ask the question is, on what day then would one fast to commemorate the destruction of the first temple? On what day would one fast to commemorate the destruction of the second temple? What I want to do in this presentation is to firmly anchor the concept of fasting for tragedy and the question of determining dates for fasting for tragedy. Obviously, you're going to fast on the day that the tragedy happened. We're going to see that this gets complicated as Jewish history unfolds further on. In the case of the Khmelnytsky massacres of the 17th century, they lasted for a year and a half. So on what day are we going to fast? In the case of the Shoah, the Holocaust, what day should be a day set aside to commemorate the Holocaust? When did it start? It started with the Nuremberg Laws. It started with Kristallnacht. It started with the beginning of World War II. It started with the Wannsee Conference. And it lasted until the middle of 1945. Well, what day are you going to use? Earlier, it's easier because one day is the day of the tragedy. Well, what day is it and when should I fast? Now, we've already seen that the book of Zechariah in the Bible talks about when it formulates the notion of fasting for the destruction of the temple, talks about the fast of the fifth month. There are no days in Zechariah. Fast of the fifth month, fast of the fourth month, fast of the seventh month, fast of the tenth month. There are no dates. The Mishnah states in text number four, one of the earliest rabbinic sources, text number four, that five tragic events happened on the day of the ninth of Av, and on Tisha B'Av, line number five, five events occurred. Next line, the temple was destroyed for the first and second time. According to rabbinic tradition, both temples were destroyed on the same day, and both temples were destroyed on the ninth day of Av. The entire destruction took place on one day, first time and second time, and that day was the ninth of Av. But what's the evidence? And the question is compounded because it's a very complicated question. We've already seen conflicting dates. Now, I don't know to what extent you followed very carefully, but there's a contradiction between the 2 Kings text and the Jeremiah text as to what day of the fifth month was the first temple destroyed. Let's take a look at the Talmud. The Talmud in text number five. The Talmud analyzes and elaborates on the text of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says both temples were destroyed on the ninth day of Av, and the Talmud wants to know how. Give me the evidence, give me the background. This is very interesting, just parenthetically, because this is a historical passage in the Talmud. We're generally familiar with legal passages in the Talmud, picking up different aspects of Jewish law and trying to explain them and analyze them. Here, we're told historical facts in the earlier text, the Mishnah. Now, the Talmud, later on, a couple of centuries later, analyzing that text, says, well, how do you know? Give me the evidence. And the answer given in both of these cases is very interesting and very revealing. The answer given to how do you know the first temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av? And how do you know that the second temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av? It's a little fishy, right? I mean, isn't that like a coincidence? It's a little bit much. A historian gets your antennae up. I mean, it can't be that it was exactly on the same day. Well, it turns out that it was exactly on the same day. We'll see how do you know. But it's important to try to understand it not just as a fact, but the Talmud opens up for us the issue of evidence. The temple was destroyed, text number five, for the first time, the first temple. How do you know? And we have a problem because 2 Kings says that it was destroyed on the seventh of the fifth month, and Jeremiah says it was destroyed on the 10th of the fifth month. I just read those texts to you a moment ago. Continues the Talmud, second paragraph, and it was taught in a Braita, which is a earlier rabbinic text. You can't say that the temple was destroyed on the seventh because another verse in Jeremiah says it was the 10th. You can't say that it was destroyed on the 10th, like it says in Jeremiah, because in Kings, 2 Kings, it says it was destroyed on the 7th. So what day is it? And according to rabbinic tradition, the problem is even stronger because what day was the first temple destroyed according to the Mishnah? On the 9th. So first of all, what do you do with the contradiction between the 7th and the 10th? And second of all, what does it have to do with the ninth? Neither of them are the ninth. You want to know how do you know it was burned on the ninth? Well, one verse says it was the seventh and one verse says it was the 10th. So how do you crawl out of this? So the Talmud says as follows. How can we reconcile it? On the 7th, the heathens entered the sanctuary and they ate, they destroyed and performed depraved acts there on the 7th and the 8th. And it was on the 9th towards evening that they set fire to it, and it continued to burn the entire day of the 10th. So what happened on the 7th? That's when they started their diabolical acts on the Temple Mount. What happened on the 10th? Most of it burnt on the 10th. Rabbi Yochanan says, continues the Talmud, if I was around in those days, I would have made the fast on the 10th, because we have just determined that most of the temple burnt on the 10th. So if you want to choose a day, when was it set fire? It was set fire on the 9th in the late afternoon. So let's say 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. So it means it burnt an hour and a half, right? You know that the next day begins the night. So in the afternoon, late afternoon, it burns for an hour and a half. And now it's the 10th. Now it's already night. And it burns the whole next day. So 95% of the temple burnt on the 10th. Rabbi Yochanan says it makes no sense. If I was around, I would have done it on the 10th. So the Talmud asks, why do we do it on the 9th? Because, next paragraph, and the rabbis, who nevertheless instituted the mourning for the temple on the 9th of Av, held that it's better to fix the commemoration according to the inception of the calamity. You know what? Better do it and commemorate it when it began. Not when most of it burnt, but when it began. The beginning is crucial. Till now, there is a temple. Beginning now, the temple is going to be destroyed. The turning point happens at the beginning. So we're going to do it at the beginning. When was the beginning? It was on the 9th, albeit way late in the afternoon of the 9th. So now we know, proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it happened on the 9th. What do you mean? Understand very well that when it comes to the first temple's destruction, we still have biblical texts. We're going to have a problem when it comes to the destruction of the second temple, because by then the canon, the biblical canon, is done. We don't have any biblical sources that we could turn to. But here we have biblical sources. So the Bible is describing it. So how do you know it was the 9th? You tell me it's the 9th. How do you know? Well, I have a problem because this biblical text says 7, this biblical text says 10. Well, we'll figure it out. It's not really a contradiction because it starts on the 7th and it ends on the 10th. So that accounts for the 7th and the 10th. How do you get the 9th? That's when it began. Now, remember this, because we're going to come back to this in the context of both the Khmelnytsky massacres and in the context of the Holocaust. So when should I commemorate the Khmelnytsky massacres in the 17th century? It lasted for a year and a half. When should I commemorate the Holocaust? It lasted for 6 years. The notion of the beginning is very significant and plays a very prominent role. We'll come back to that. Now, what about the Second Temple? What about the evidence, as the Mishnah tells us, that the Second Temple was also destroyed on the 9th? Next paragraph. And the second time, the temple was also destroyed on Tisha B'Av. From where do we learn this? And listen to this answer. We're going to use a strong word. I'm going to say it's shocking. I'm going to say it's highly irregular, which makes it all the more fascinating and all the more significant. How do you know that the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av? We have no biblical evidence whatsoever. The Bible's done. We don't have that. How do you know? Answer, and I'm going to read it in the original text, and I'll translate it as you have it here. Megalgalin zechut liyom zakai vechova liyom chayav. Namely, good things happen on good days and bad things happen on bad days. I mean, that is astounding. How do you know what happened on that day? Well, what else was it going to happen? I mean, it's a bad day. You know, bad things happen on that day. Namely, the first temple was destroyed. So obviously, that's what, proof. That's the proof. Because bad things happen on bad days. It's a bad day. So that's how you know that it was destroyed on the same day that the first one was destroyed. It doesn't get more ahistorical than this. You know how you know it was? Because it had to be. Because it doesn't make sense that it should be on any other day. That's the first answer of the Talmud. To use the language that we are going to become accustomed to, we subsume destruction number 2 under destruction number 1. And we go so far as to say, that the structure number two, parenthesis, which we do not have any real evidence as to exactly when it occurred, end parenthesis, we are going to say that it occurred on the same day that the first one occurred. We're linking number two to number one, and we're making a historical statement. We are asserting that it happened on that day. Then the Talmud continues. They said, now they're quoting from an earlier rabbinic text. When the temple was destroyed for the first time, that day was the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. We've already seen that. And then there is a long discussion here of exactly what happened, description of the events that happened in the temple, all of which occurred when the first temple was destroyed. All the way down to the bottom of the paragraph, V'chein Bashniyah, and the same thing happened the second time the temple was destroyed. Not just the story happened, but the date happened. When? On the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. The second passage that I just read to you is a source. How do you know that the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av? Because we have a tradition, we have a text that says this is what happened on the first, and it also happened on the second. Now that is, putting aside the significance and the intensity of the historical veracity of this particular text, at least it's a text. At least it's a source. How do you know what happened on the 9th of Av? Because it says it somewhere. It says somewhere that it happened on the 9th of Av, just like the first one happened. But that's not the first answer. Why didn't the Talmud simply say, how do you know the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av? Answer, because we have a text that says it was destroyed on the 9th of Av, like the first one. That's not what it says. And that's what it says only second. What's the first answer? First answer is, how do you know? What kind of silly question is that? Of course it happened on the 9th of Av. Because it's a bad day. Bad things happen on bad days. Megal galin zechut liyom zakai. Good things happen on good days. And bad things happen on bad days. It doesn't get, as I said, more ahistorical than that. So, fascinating. We're now introduced to this notion, which is going to become much more sharply defined as we go along, that this tragedy that happens later is now linked into, subsumed under, related to this tragedy that happened earlier. If you don't know when a tragic event occurred, you can assume it happened on the same day that a previous tragic event occurred. And it's only after making this assertion that the Talmud continues and actually provides a text. And I wonder significantly, why didn't the Talmud just give me the text? The answer is the text is significant, but the notion, bad days, bad things happen on bad days, is a very powerful one. Now, this phrase appears many other times in rabbinic literature, and it's fascinating to see the contexts. But it's clearly something that is accepted as very much part of the thinking of the rabbis in the Talmud, that we link this event to that event. If I don't know when this event happened, it must have happened when that event happened. We call it a bad day. In English, there is a phrase, I don't know if it's used anymore when I was growing up, it's jinxed. It's jinxed. The day is jinxed. J-I-N-X. It's like something, it's set aside for bad things are going to happen. It's a bad day. Bad things happen on bad days. Now, I want to give you a few other examples of this. In the context of the destruction of the temple and in the context of the destruction in particular of the second temple, to set up this paradigm of relating a later tragedy to an earlier tragedy. And this will be very much a focus as we move out of the destruction of the temple. Next time we're going to be talking about the Crusades. We're going to start our tour of medieval Jewish history with the Crusades at the end of the 11th century, to think about how one event or the commemoration of one event or not just the commemoration of one event, but even the taking place of one event, even the date of one event is related to an event that happened before. Let's take a look at text number 6. In a different context, the Talmud uses a different phrase. The Talmud here on in text number 6 is interested in noting that there is a difference according to the severity of Jewish ritual practices between those practices that we're not allowed to engage in on the other fast days, the fast of the fourth month or the fast of the 10th month, and the much higher, much more intense prohibitions that are imposed upon us for the fast of the fifth month, Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, the fifth month, that there is a qualitative difference between the status or the character or the quality of that fast day and all of the other fast days. And the Talmud says, what's the difference? After all, we just saw the verse in Zechariah that they're all mentioned equally. Zechariah says, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, all will, please God, someday be happiness and joy. So they're all equal. So why is it that we single out the fast of the fifth to be more solemn, more serious, more repercussive, more intense than the others? And the Talmud answers, take a look now on text number 6. Why is Tisha B'Av different? Final paragraph, Rav Papa defends his answer. Tisha B'Av is different since tragedies were repeated on it. Many tragedies happened on it. Even though it's not the only day on which many tragedies happen, on the fast of the fourth month, many tragedies happened, but it's the double destructions of the temple. And the Talmud continues, on Tisha B'Av, the temple was destroyed for the first time and for the second time. So now we have another way of formulating this. The original, I'll read it in the original, I'll translate it, Huchpelu bo tsarot. Huchpelu kefel means doubled. The tragedies are doubled. It's a double tragedy. So another way of pointing to the jinxed nature of Tisha B'Av or to the bad day of Tisha B'Av is to point out that it's a double tragedy. It's not just a single tragedy. Somehow, this day is bad news. This day is bad, and if it's bad, it's so bad that if another event happens, and I don't know when that happened, well, duh, it's obvious that it happened on that day. Another example and another formulation is in the elegies that are recited traditionally on the evening of the ninth of Av, of the fast of the ninth of Av, in text number 7. There's a reference here in the next to the last paragraph, on this night, 5 misfortunes befell Israel. And the phrase here, again, in the original, and I'll translate, is Yom Muchan Haya. It's a day that was destined for tragedy. So this is another formulation, a day destined for tragedy. We have a double day, we have a bad day, and we have a day that's destined. This is a day that is not just done with. It's a day that is going to carry forth beyond the commemoration of the event, the historical event of the destruction of the first and even of the second, and is going to go even beyond. Yom Muchan Haya. And take a look in the last text, in text number 8, we find a similar formulation in Maimonides' code, where he describes the laws of these fast days. On the ninth day of Av, 5 tragedies occurred, and he lists what the 5 tragedies were. Number 1, that the Jews would not enter into the land of Israel. Number 2 and 3, the first and second temples were destroyed. Then number 4, and then before he gets to number 5, he says, and again in the original Hebrew, Ubo biyom hamuchan Liparunot, the fifth one happened. So the Maimonides, you kind of hear him speaking. 5 things happen on this day. 1 thing, 2nd thing, destruction of the first temple. third thing, destruction of the second temple, the fourth thing. Ay. And on this day that obviously was set aside for tragedy, the fifth thing happened. So we see something is fundamentally, I'm going to use that word again, jinxed on this day that makes it so powerful, the extent to which we will see shortly. In this second presentation, we have seen that fast days were established to commemorate Jewish tragedies in ancient times. But of all the fast days that were established, the fast of the ninth of Av, understood to commemorate the destruction of both temples, and we spent some time trying to figure that out, took precedence over all of the other fast days and is considered in a class of its own. We also saw that the Talmud was prepared to state that an event with no known date, namely the destruction of the second temple, was assumed, just simply assumed, to have occurred on the ninth of Av, the date for the destruction of the first temple. Bad things happen on bad days. Subsume number two under number one. But how far did the power of the fast day of the ninth of Av really extend? When tragedy struck the Jewish community in medieval times and in modern times, to what extent was the ninth of Av totally powerful and all-encompassing? To what extent do we find that new days were established, or days were only recognized as not being allowed to be established and subsumed under Tisha B'Av? Was the shadow cast by the ninth of Av so imposing that even events, to take it one step further, that we know did not take place on that day, also were subsumed under that day? Until now, we saw in the case of the second temple destruction, well, we don't know. Well, if we don't know, it could have been on any day. Well, we're going to assume that it was on that day. What about tragedies? And we're going to see, starting with the Crusades next time, we know exactly when they occurred. We know exactly the dates in which the major Jewish communities in the Rhine Valley of Speyer and Worms and Mainz were destroyed in the spring of 1096. We know exactly what they were. None of them were the ninth of Av. To what extent is it true that even in those cases, we're going to say, you know what? I know when it happened, but that's not relevant to me. I'm going to remember them and fast for them and focus on them on the ninth of Av? Or will we say, new tragedy, big tragedy, significant tragedy, new fast day? That the ninth of Av may work for both the first and second temples, but they're not going to work for major tragedies that occur thereafter throughout medieval and modern times. There are those who said that the Holocaust should be on the ninth of Av. There are those who said, can't be that we're going to subsume the Holocaust under anything. It cries for, it requires, it mandates its own particular day. That's the issue that we're going to be focusing on, and it is to this matter that we will spend the rest of our sessions together, beginning, as I said, next presentation with the story of the events surrounding the destruction of the Rhine Valley Jewish communities at the end of the 11th century when the Pope called for a crusade to liberate the holy city of Jerusalem from the infidel Muslims. The ninth of Av is the most intense fast day. It's the worst thing, and not just one temple, two temples. You should know that what happened in Germany at the end of the 11th century is equivalent in its horribleness to what happened when the temple was destroyed.